This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from that era. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1941. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College.
Yes, this is station KUWS broadcasting from Superior, Wisconsin. It's 5 o'clock standard wartime. Remember December the 8th, 1941. You're listening to the Martin and McKenna Show with the National Tea Company 5 o'clock news up next. Many historical things have already happened to us, and KUWS radio newsman Lou Martin has it all for you now. Good evening, Lou.
Well, good evening to you, Jack, and listeners, good evening. The United States is in a state of war with the Empire of Japan. In a speech getting thunderous applause from both sides of the political aisle this afternoon, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt asked Congress for a declaration of war. We have this report from Edward R. Murrow of the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The President of the United States.
If your name is Sam Rayburn, you lift your gavel and rap for order. As a joint session of senators and representatives, many of them bitter foes of the man on the rostrum, cheer him madly. Because, like most Americans, they are angry, frightened, and confused. And he is the President of the United States.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
That's part of Mr. Roosevelt's 7-minute, 500-word speech as he gave some details of the appalling damage done to our naval base in Hawaii yesterday when two waves of Japanese bombers attacked United States ships and airfields. The Senate voted 82-0 for war, while the House vote was 388-1, with Montana Republican Representative Jeanette Rankin casting the lone vote against war. Mrs. Rankin also voted in the wee hours of April the 6th of 1918 against entering into World War I. House Speaker Sam Rayburn and Vice President Henry Wallace then signed the war declaration. The White House says the destruction from the attack is more serious than they first believed. More than 1,500 Americans were killed, several ships and planes were destroyed, and reinforcements of new planes are now being rushed to Oahu in Hawaii. The White House also reports that U.S. properties in Guam, Wake, and the Midway Islands have also been attacked by the Japanese. The Philippines has also been the target of a large-scale invasion by the Nipponese. NBC radio reporter Don Bell radioed in a report of the bombing of Nichols Field near Manila, the capital of the Philippines. Bell described the sky as glowing a bright red from the ground fires still burning after strafing and bombing from the air. Bell also says gasoline dumps were destroyed at Nichols Field and Fort McKinley. A spokesman for Lieutenant General Douglas MacArthur says that Japanese troops are parachuting into the Philippine Islands at several locations. Thailand was also invaded today and has promptly surrendered to an excursionary force of Japan. Singapore is being attacked as well, where the British have a strong naval presence with the battleship, the Prince of Wales. Well, sadly, the first Wisconsin fatality of the new war is being reported. 22-year-old Private Donald Plant of Wausau was killed during the attack on Pearl Harbor at Wheeler Field. Action in the U.S. House was fast and furious after Democratic leader John McCormick introduced a declaration of war resolution. House speakers shouted, vote, vote. Mrs. Rankin stood in hopes of being recognized, but Speaker Sam Rayburn ignored her. One person yelled, "Sit down, sister." Our Congressman, Barney Gehrman of northern Wisconsin, released a statement to us today from Washington soon after the vote.
The damnable and unwarranted attack on the citizens and defenses of the United States by Japan while ostensibly negotiating a peaceful settlement was a treacherous and damaging act of aggression. It calls for united action in defending the country on the part of everyone, and I have therefore voted to recognize a state of war between the United States and Japan.
The United States wasn't the only country handing out war declarations today. They were flying fast and furious. China declared war on Japan, and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill announced Great Britain was now at war with Japan. CBS Radio is reporting Australian Prime Minister John Curtin announced his country is at war against Japan as well. Other countries at war with the Nipponese nation, with declarations today, include our neighbor to the north, Canada, and the Netherlands, Honduras, Cuba, Haiti, and Costa Rica. We'll have more news from the home front about the war after this word from our 5 o'clock news sponsor, National Tea Company Groceries, with Jack McKenna.
Thank you, Lou. Yes, from the National Tea Company, we have some bargains today. It's hard to believe. For example, lean, tender, mild mutton chops, 12 cents a pound. In the fish department, fresh Lake Superior herring, 6 cents a pound. Freshly frozen smelts, 5 pounds for 39 cents. Lutefisk a pound, 14 cents. Fresh lobster tails available, too, and shrimp, fresh or cooked. Tomatoes, well, gardeners, you don't have to grow them this year. They're 6 for 49 cents at National Tea Company. That's it, National Tea at Belknap and Tower in Superior.
Northern Brewery News Time is 5:07. Vital defense industries in the area are now being protected around the clock by armed guards. Guards have been on duty since the outbreak of hostilities in Europe 2 years ago, but now more stringent security will be placed, including Lake Superior shipyards, Butler shipyards, and the Globe shipyards, where new defense contracts have been let, and the workers are already building ships for the nation's defense. Just as urgently, the guard has been doubled at the DuPont TNT manufacturing plant in Barksdale, near Washburn in Bayfield County. The DuPont plant manager, M.C. Cake, says as soon as he heard about the attack on Pearl Harbor, he ordered security doubled to prevent sabotage. Mr. Cake says other security measures also have been added. The Barksdale DuPont plant is already operating at capacity. Meanwhile, in an attempt to make sure that vital information doesn't get into the wrong hands, the Federal Communications Commission, that's the FCC, has ordered all amateur radio stations silenced. This means that 31 radio operators in Superior and Douglas County will have to stop operating, including some very well-known people in the community. John Burgraff, Thomas Wendt, Ed Ansel, Ray McGillis, Lee Blair, Ernest Lewick, Roger Elm, Charlie Persons, and W.C. Bridges. Persons is the chief engineer at commercial station WEBC, which is owned by Bridges. And a side note to this war comes from Douglas County Welfare Director John Patton. He expects the welfare rolls to decline sharply now that the war has been declared, and every able-bodied person is needed in the nation's defense. 843 people are on direct relief in Douglas County, and Patton says 200 of these are employable. In this time of national emergency, we welcome 55 new citizens to Upper Wisconsin. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson was at the swearing-in ceremony today. He has this report for us.
The circuit court chambers were jammed today as naturalization officers Mr. Westman and Mr. Anderson questioned the petitioners at 9 a.m. and then had Judge Carl Daly give the oath of allegiance. Among those sworn in today by Judge Daly and now U.S. citizens are Steffi Cotter, Ida Lenroot, Olga Severson, Signe Swanson, Ole Leerdahl, and the longest name of all of them, Constantis Grigopoulos. Mr. Westman noted the irony and importance of this ceremony to become U.S. citizens in this time of world turmoil, Lou.
Well, it's a big responsibility, especially in these times. Did Judge Daley have any trouble with the names like Mr. Grigopoulos?
That was very good, Lou. The judge just spoke slowly when it came to his name. It would have been easier had he been able to use Constantis Grigopoulos' nickname. See, everyone calls him Connie.
Well, okay, Mike. And thank you for your report. And Jack, a Superior State Teachers College student, was a victim of yesterday's attack on Pearl Harbor. Student Bill Higa is worried about his family back in Hawaii that they might be in danger of invasion by the Japanese troops. He's considering returning home for help. But Bill Higa says he's not able to book passage because of the attack and might have to sit tight and finish his term at Superior State. And Jack, the snow that fell overnight is only the second time that we've seen the white stuff.
Thanks, Lou, and yes, friends, we got a bit of snow. Oh, yeah. After all, it is December. An inch of snow fell in many upper Wisconsin counties, including Burnett, Washburn, and Sawyer counties. In Superior, the dusting of snow melted away today as sunshine and 35 degrees took hold. And the forecast from the U.S. Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth calls for more sunshine the next 2 days, but temperatures generally in the upper 20s. And here's something that Lou and I want to pass on to you folks. First of all, we thank you for tuning in to us during this very difficult time. We know that's a trust that's going to take some diligence on our part to keep. Throughout this war, no matter if it lasts a few weeks or, heaven forbid, a few years, we will bring you the news and information that will help all of us through this national crisis. We just wanted to let you know that we're all in this thing together. Now here's some good old American music with Bud Freeman and his famous Chicagoans, Shimmy Shawabo, Pee Wee Russell on clarinet. What you call toe-tapping music, folks. from Station KUWS, broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes. And the clarinet? Why, of course, Pee Wee Russell. You know, friends, it's important that business continues in spite of the threat from foreign powers. Just the same, the Superior Evening Telegram published two extra editions yesterday, giving you the latest vital information from the attack on Pearl Harbor. The Superior Evening Telegram brought you the war news, and they still have a few copies of the extra war news editions in case you'd like to buy one as a souvenir to what will long be remembered as an important part of our nation's history. And these public-spirited businesses urge you to buy U.S. savings bonds today. Household Finance Corporation, where manager Lyle Parrish asks all of us to chip in for our country's defense. Household Finance, 1225 Tower Avenue, in the Telegram building, take the elevator to the third floor. And Lebo's Jewelry Store says rally round the flag and dig deep to buy defense bond stamps for Uncle Sam. Lebo's has diamonds for $25 and up. Lebo's at 1124 Tower Avenue. Choose it and charge it at Lebo's. And Lou, you have some wishes to extend from all of us.
Well, indeed, Jack. The office manager of American Shipbuilding, one of the Twin Ports' largest shipyards, and in these times a very critical industry for our national defense, has entered Kaler Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota. Andrew Smith is scheduled to undergo surgery. That's according to his brother, David Smith, who is with him in Rochester. So, Andy Smith, hope to see you back behind your desk very soon. No worse for the wear.
What's the surgery for, Lou?
Well, Jack, you should know better than to ask. You know, you can't pry into such personal affairs. All we know is that Andrew Smith is in surgery, and we wish him well.
Well, excuse me. Depending on what part of him they operate on, people would like to send him a more appropriate get-well gift, you know, like a pillow to sit on or something.
Or something.
Now, friends, something to take your mind off the difficulties for a few minutes. Here's the old reliable Frank Sinatra tune, Night and Day.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you day and night, night and day. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, or in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you day and night, night and day. Under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and night. There's an oh such a hungry yearning burning way down inside of me, and its torment won't ever be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Indeed, Frank Sinatra, the new singing sensation on station KUWS. Lou has a guest in our studio whose job has taken on a more urgent tone in the last day or two.
Yes, Jack, and listeners, please welcome Superior Douglas County Draft Board, the number one chairman. It's number two. I don't think it makes a lot of difference.
I'm not quite number one yet, so we're working on that.
You're working.
I've been number two man for quite some time.
You may get a promotion.
Yeah, I'm waiting for number one to retire, so I can be number one then.
Okay, please welcome Superior Douglas County Draft Board number two chairman, J.A. Raffaele. Good evening, Mr. Raffaele. I understand that you've been very busy today.
Busy? I should say so. First off, it is important that the public airwaves be used for more and more public service in these dangerous times. Now, I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but there is a duty that must be done. A duty, I think, that has been inevitable with the Japanese for quite some time, Lou.
How do you mean?
Our older citizens might remember that in 1908 and 1911, Uncle Sam had to demonstrate its naval power to the Japanese. I know. I was on board that expeditionary force to the Nipponese Islands. It was led by Admiral Robert Evans. Oh, you're too young to remember those days when Japan was threatening expansion. Even then, mixing up with Russia and all that. Well, I figured ever since then that war would come with Japan, and here it is, 30 years later, and that's just what's happening.
Well, sir, you know, that's interesting. Now for today, I understand many young men will be getting the call locally.
39 names were decided upon today alone in that local draft board. And as hard as it is to say goodbye to loved ones, folks, please remember that it is the duty to God and country to serve. I have just a few names with me. I forgot to bring the whole list, Lou, but this will give some men a head start so they know to report for their local physical examinations in Eau Claire on Friday. First of all, we got Toivo Gransrus, Adolf Pulaski, Emmett Broughton, Robert Smith, Marvin Alexander, Albert Rubel, Howard Purcell, Walter Olson, Joseph Husk, help me out with that one, Lou. Joseph, you know who you are. Cosmo McKenzie, Chester Matson, and Harold Lemieux.
I suppose many more names will be called soon.
Yes, sir. It's so important that we do a thorough job of it, or Superior and Douglas County won't be doing its part to meet this emergency. In fact, I'm glad you asked that, Lou. I don't know what your status is, or Jack's, but men with deferred classification will have their classes reviewed by the board. You can just lay some hard-earned cash on it that the quota will be greatly increased immediately. And so men who have been declared ineligible for service because of work or family or other such things may have that status changed to eligible. It all depends on individual situations. What I hope will happen is that these patriotic souls will step forward and not wait for us to review their eligibility.
Well, thank you, Mr. J.A. Raffaele, for that important news.
Your local draft board will be working overtime.
Holy mackerel. 39 men sent draft notices today alone in the county. Things are going to be different around here from now on, Lou.
Well, it's still taking time to sink in, old friend. But, you know, hearing these names of men headed for service makes things all the more real.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, here's one for the guys heading to Eau Claire for their physicals. It's Glenn Miller and his popular Perfidia.
thought that what romantic fools we mortals be. And now I know my love was not for you, and so I take it back with a sigh, perfidious one, goodbye.
That's a great sound, that Glenn Miller. You know, Lou, even in extraordinary times, it's important to keep some of the finer things in our lives, the things dear to our hearts, the stuff that makes this country and our people great.
I couldn't agree more. And our entertainment editor, Harriet Farrig, continues to play such an important role in reminding us why we must fight to protect our freedom and heritage.
You're so right, boys. And, Louis, as always, you say it so eloquently. You too, of course, Jack.
I appreciate that, Harriet.
Thank you, my dear. You attended a stirring performance put on by our young people at the Superior State Teachers College yesterday afternoon.
And, oh, Louis, it was magnificent. It made me so proud to be part of this community. Superior State Teachers College presented its second annual performance of Handel's 200-year-old oratorio, The Messiah, on Sunday evening, December 7th, before a capacity crowd. Under the joint leadership of William Schlipp and Donald Foltz, an orchestra of 40 and a chorus of 160 showed abundant evidence of able and musicianly direction. The performance was distinguished by precision of attack, a well-graded scale of dynamics, judicious choice of tempi, and musical phrasing. Virtually all of the first part of the work was given intact as in the original version, except for the reorchestration by Mozart, made about 40 years after Handel's first performance. Guest soloists Ikea Schreifer, contralto, and Gordon Griblow, tenor, and student soloists Thomas McCarthy, Martin Nurmi, bassy, and Frances Amory and Joniki, soprani, gave highly satisfactory renditions of their recitativi and arias. You know, Louis and Jack, this was especially meaningful because everyone had just heard the news of the attack on Pearl Harbor. I know it added to the number of moist eyes during the Hallelujah Chorus.
Yes, I can well imagine that that's true. Thank you, Harriet Farrig, with that community report. Jack, it kind of warms the heart.
It really does, Lou. If war is mankind's ultimate failure, cultural triumphs such as The Messiah can give us hope for our future. And friends, that's all the time we have for you this evening of December the 8th, 1941. We'll be back same time, same place, if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise. For Lou Martin, then, I'm Jack McKenna. Good night.
This is Radio Superior 1941, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research assistance from Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson, with sports reporting done by Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530. Email at simonson@wpr.org or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1941. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.